Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Well, welcome back. It's Feedback Friday. It happens to be Friday the 13th. Usually these are good days for me. Some people just have, you know, good days or bad days on the 13th, and they become superstitious. I don't know. Do we have superstitious days of other numerical values of the month? I don't know. Don't care. What I want to do is I want to go through It's Now or Never. And as a matter of fact, some of the things that, you know, I've been poked at and I've been asked about, you know, I just wanted to kind of go through real quick. First off, I've gone into, and I'm going to make the strategy segment about this, because here we have found that the Biden administration, and everybody's trying to stay away from the stink. No, everybody wants to make sure that there's, you know, little exposure to, you know, what they've been exposed to regarding these classified documents that are found in the Biden administration. Now, this goes down to the real problem with oversight over the federal government. You know, you can't allow the chickens to guard their own coop, because they just create, and it's not just chickens. We're talking about cognitive beings that when they have the opportunity to amplify and build upon their corruption, there is no stopping them. And so what we want to do is we want to get into, you know, these classified documents, and overall the full accountability and control over classified information, as well as exposure sheets and mandated exposure sheets, those types of things, when we come back around. But I want to tie this to Snowden, because I've been poked on this and I've never been able to get back to this. And it's been a long time since I've talked about Snowden. So if you're here for entertainment, this isn't the place. But if you're here to actually hear a constitutional perspective, and if you really want to hear, if Snowden's your hero, then you may need to listen to this, because we're going to expose the fact that he's no hero. And as a matter of fact, Snowden himself is, you know, deserves to be hanged. And we have all, the evidence is overwhelming that this guy knew what he was doing, and it had nothing to do with trying to do the right thing. It had everything to do to elevate himself into a sphere of status. And he's a rock star today and a hero to way too many people. And I have to question, you know, the patriotism of any U.S. citizen that considers him a hero. But we'll get into those details. And if you disagree with me, then by all means, send me a message. Leave me a voice message, 425-270-5416. I'll say it again, 425-270-5416. You know, maybe one of these days I'll actually put my, you know, all my phone lines on so I can have them and you can hear all my phones ringing. But I prefer having the solitude and the silence so I can think a little better, because anytime a phone rings, a knock on the door, anything happens, the dog's barking, it distracts me. And I hate having to go into oration while I'm being distracted. It's, you know, I'm actually okay with speaking in front of an audience with all of the pandemonium going on, you know, in the audience. I'm actually okay with that, because we're all in the same, you know, milieu. We're all in the same environment, and everybody else sees the little pandemonium that little Johnny is pulling off, you know, by dragging his sister by the hair or something like that. And we can all refer to that. But if something's happening in the background via radio, I mean, you're not exposed to it. You don't see what's going on. And so So the distraction either has to be exposed or the distraction has to be suppressed. And for the most part, I always defer to suppressing. But anyway, one of the things I do need to let you know is that there are new lockdowns coming. As a matter of fact, there have been people that have just recently died from COVID and so forth. And some people have died from really mysterious causes. I find it interesting that Jeff Beck has just passed away, supposedly from spinal meningitis. I believe that's what he died from. And obviously, I'm a Jeff Beck fan. I always thought he was one of the greatest guitarists, and he was recognized as one of the greatest guitarists that ever lived. But he was a guy that was really a man that did everything on his own. He collaborated with lots of people, did a lot of different endeavors and so forth, but I just appreciated his music. It was very, I'll just say musical. It was jazzy. Some of it was, you know, he did a rendition of Ravel Bolero. And so he was one of the best. And anyway, so he obviously just died. But back to the lockdowns, there are states that are beginning to get ready to do this. Well, why is this important? Well, we have petitions. We have a petition out on our website. Actually, I think I might have taken it down. If you have a governor that initiates this, then you need to get this copy of this petition and just make the necessary changes to, you know, the edicts and the orders that he's putting out, and you need to call these guys out. We can't allow these guys to continue to do this because they got hardly no resistance, or I should say no legitimate resistance. There were people complaining, you can't do this. You need to prove that they're violating the Constitution, and if they do this, they must be removed from office. That's the position we have to take. And see, the problem is most of these people think, well, you know, you got to get a majority of the voters to get rid of me. And that's why we have to start shifting paradigms. We need to create this collective conscience. I talk about this. We need to get more and more people to recognize that the first and foremost thing is compliance with the Constitution. You make a mistake, you know, and you get caught and you refuse to fix the problem and you just want to continue doing the tyrannical things that you do. You want to be corrupt? Then we're done with you. You're gone. And we have to take that mental paradigm on. We have to actually, you know, embrace that concept and get these public servants accountable and or out, period. Now, here's an interesting thing because I find it ironic that this is actually hitting the news. The first story about voter fraud, actually election fraud. Now, technically, this is voter fraud. Because an individual basically put out or signed up for voting ballots when they weren't those people. So this was voter fraud, not election fraud. And it's I'm going to really massacre the name. Rensselaer, I think, is the name of the county. Republican Elections Board Commissioner Jason Schofield resigned and pleaded guilty to federal charges of fraudulently obtaining and filing for ballots in a New York election. And so the past election. And so it's interesting that they have found a Republican. Now, this is my point. When you find the majority of laws that are being violated, the majority of the Constitution that's being ignored is being done primarily, mostly, by the left. The right is typically, you know, they get frustrated and you'll find players like this on the right. So my point is this. If we now find that Republicans are starting to do what the Democrats are doing, and it's just like January 6th, right? If we look at what the Democrats were doing by violating the law, by going out and protesting and damaging property and all of these things unconstitutionally, you do not have a right to walk down the streets and protest. You do not have that constitutional right. And anybody that says that, I challenge them to prove that in the Constitution. I want to see that words. You have a right to protest. You have a right to block commerce. You have a right to shut things down because they know they won't go there. And more specifically, when they get to the actual language, that your right stems specifically in protesting, actually not protesting, but petitioning government for the redress of grievances. And then you compare and contrast what happened throughout America and then what happened on January 6, 2021 in Washington, D.C. a stark difference, because what happened in D.C. was legitimate. What happened in the rest of America was a violation. These people were treasonous insurgents. They should be their voting rights should be revoked. Their citizenship should be revoked. You know, there's people that think, oh, you know, we shouldn't be allowing citizens to be able to do these things. I honestly think that they should have their citizenship revoked maybe a year. Maybe it's just for a temporary period of time. But they need to learn, and they need to lose their ability to vote for 1 year or for an election cycle, 4 years, something like that, to where they realize that there are consequences for violating the rights of others. These are the laws, and we must have some kind of penalty. And those should be felons. If it's a felon to do voter fraud, it should be equally a felon to actually commit. Technically, the guys that committed the protest of the Whiskey Rebellion, they were charged with treason. So let's place real context to this. These are treasonous people. I held back on the expletive. So anyway, it's ironic. It's ironic that they're actually reporting this. Now, here's another thing, that if you don't understand the tyranny, you know, and why you need to start petitioning your county commissioners and go up to your state and so forth, I'll give you a good reason. You may be living in a state right now that is actually making it illegal for you to buy and build a house and build that house based on natural gas, to have a natural gas furnace and, you know, that type of heating and that type of cooking capability. Folks, I'm telling you, they're violating the Constitution in doing this, and we need to stand up to this tyranny. And there's 20 states that have invoked this ban. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so this goes back to the tyranny that the states want to levy upon you, because they're being paid to do this. They're being paid to dismantle America. What ends up happening if all of a sudden you have to rely upon electricity to heating, and just like electricity to power your cars, we have to rely upon electricity for everything? Folks, they know they can't provide that much electricity. They know they'll be oversubscribed and many people will be hurt, but it doesn't matter, because this is, hey, they know better. And they know that this is what they need to do. So there'll be a little suffering, okay, but people dying, that's okay. Are you kidding me? What the heck happened? There was zero tolerance to even the potential. You know, I remember watching, you know, the activist TV shows, or actually movies, and I forget, Michael Douglas was in a meltdown one, the China Syndrome, I think it was, regarding a nuclear facility and the potential of a meltdown and the damage that it could cause. And I'm going, you know what? That's nothing compared to what they're doing, because they just want, it's not like they're even creating a grid that can support this. They want that level of control, and they want to be able to maximize their profits. And so what does this mean? This means that they do more nuclear energy? No. As a matter of fact, they want to make sure that they barely have enough for regular operations as more and more subscribing to the electrical grid occurs. They're not going to ramp up production. It's not about production. It's about control. So what we want to do is we want you to actually start holding them accountable. I'm going to bet you anything, there's nowhere in the state constitution that is delegated to your state the authority to be able to dictate what type of energy you can put into your home. There's no way you've dictated that to them. And the fact is, if they have that, then you need a constitutional amendment. And this is why it's important that you need in counties to actually start creating county constitutions, so that eventually you can invoke the county constitutions and revoke your current state constitution. And what I mean by that is that you'll eventually create enough county constitutions to where you can now basically appeal to the state constitution. Actually, you get enough, what we call enough of the counties to petition for a constitutional convention. Just to be clear, the counties then convene a convention and rewrite, or go through and possibly rewrite the entire constitution, revoking any of these powers that is proven that the state does not deserve. It is not an unlimited monarchy, despotic government that has been created. This government was created to serve the people, not to basically say, we know better than you. Sorry. That's not the form of government we have. And so when we really come down to pushing this issue, this is how we do it, folks. This is it's not that hard. And as a matter of fact, reasonable people, equally informed, will all agree that that's the logical way of doing this, to get the government at all levels into check, so that the people have the greatest level of control over their government. Now, when we talk about oversight, one of the things that people just don't get, they don't understand the state's responsibility and oversight in all things arising that is basically happening by the federal government. Now, a case in point is national security. A case in point is spying. Let's say Snowden was a real an upstanding citizen. He was a real, you know, go-getter in trying to do the right thing. Then if he really all of a sudden discovered that this was wrong, what was going on, the content and the information that the NSA was pulling in was a violation of the Constitution, he had this epiphany, then he should have gone to the state legislature, and there should have been a mechanism. There needs to be a mechanism. There's not one in place right now. But this is what he should have done. Instead of going to the lengths of copying data for as long as he did. When you go through all the different data that he has exposed already, it traces back to primarily his entire career working with the NSA when he started having access to classified material. He started copying that stuff. And it's not like he had any compulsion. So the question is, how many other people are going into work and realizing how they can get out and taking secrets and just having them just sit around so that they can use it for leverage? Because isn't that kind of a human nature thing to say, you know, there's some power in this. If I take this, I can hurt people, or I can use this, I can sell this, or what have you. And he was just happened to be one that was actually using it for public benefit, just to propel his name to go down in the annals of history as some hero, when he's the hero that never was. The proof of the matter, folks, is he's a narcissist. The reason why he was scheming for years was he was planning on doing this. It had nothing to do with, you know, your federal government and the evil government itself. He was the evil one planning on exposing the government for doing the bad things that they were. And to be honest, wasn't Rand Paul the one that was kind of telling us about this stuff? Wasn't the government coming out and talking about, you know, how they were, the people in government were already exposing this fact? The fact of the matter is, and this is what should happen, the states need to create a SCIF, a sensitive compartmented information facility, in every state house. And everybody needs to be on the list. At least they'll have a committee, a security or a national security committee in every state house. Every state house needs to have a national security committee. And they're the ones that will have access to this SCIF. And so they'll be able to go in, and it should be a large enough population of the legislatures that at any point in time, there is somebody there that can actually receive a person 24/7, but, you know, every working day of the year, a U.S. citizen should be able to walk into their local state house with classified material and say, I need to provide some classified material to the National Security Committee of the state. And so then the state legislatures would then, and that person would then go into that SCIF and wait for those people who have been exposed. And everybody that has been, that is a part of that committee, has to actually get exposed. So what we're talking about is exposure sheets. In other words, they have to come in and they actually have to sign that they have been exposed to this classified material. So we have full accountability. Let's look at what Biden's doing, and let's look at what Trump did. When somebody goes and puts their hands on classified material, like Sandy Berger, he actually had to check that document out. He took that document home and destroyed it because he had every intent. If they could prove by the ashes, there's no doubt in my mind, the day he got that document home, he burnt it immediately. He didn't burn it 2 months or a year down the road. He burnt it immediately because he was deliberately hiding information that protected Bill Clinton, that exposed the fact that Bill Clinton was aware of the 9/11 attack and did nothing. He had to bury that because Bill Clinton would be basically up on charges of treason and probably being a Gandhi dancer at the end of a rope. So bottom line, when we have a process that says a person has to be accountable, there must be consequences. If you sign out, you get exposed to a document, you're in a briefing, then everybody that was briefed must actually acknowledge by signing, signing a sheet of paper that you've been exposed to that. That way, when you come down to finding out how information got out that was only contained in this briefing, in this document, it should be exposed as to who had access to it. Now, electronically, there are some ways of doing that, but there's never a confirmed way because we have seen and we know that there are people that hack within these intel agencies that use another person's ID or what have you to obtain access to the information that would register, oh, well, that person's already had access to it. They've already looked at it. They're just looking at it again. And you never know that somebody else has now been exposed. So we have to have much tighter, we have to have 100% foolproof access. so that it's not so easy for somebody to be able to just get access without somebody having a documented trail who has been exposed. So going back to the state houses, as these folks go into these SCIFs, you know, to expose government's collection methods, resources, and these types of things, as we start exposing big tech for spying on us, all of these types of things that may have national security ramifications because big tech may be working with China in providing China usable intelligence, you know, tangible intelligence for targeting and actually doing and striking us. So we're at a break. We're going to go into the, you know, the promo with the two promos. And when we come back, we'll get back to this process of going into the SCIF and actually exposing the information and what to have and how this needs to proliferate through the states and so forth. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill this same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things that I obviously am going to be getting feedback on is why the states. Why should the states have oversight over intel operations for national security? That's clearly something delineated within the Constitution. Well, to be clear, who are the final arbiters of the Constitution? What is the entity that empowered and granted that power to the federal government to be able to do those things? The states. So who has the responsibility to make sure that the federal government is operating in the sovereign's, and when I say sovereign's, the party's best interest, and to make sure that the federal government is not operating in a conflict with their obligations of the compact, or that they're not operating to the demise of the compact. In other words, the states have a responsibility to make sure that the federal government, because they're the ones that are supposed to be protecting their citizens. We all have a responsibility to protect each other. You know, when you, I'm going to go down a little rat hole. I don't know if you've ever seen a video, you've ever seen this happen. You know, this is way too common. And you may have actually been involved in this. And you've probably, you know, many people finally, you know, pull back and go, you know what? I can't believe I was doing this. And so you see a person driving down the road, and all of a sudden, a car comes up kind of speeding along, and everybody can see that this car is kind of, wow, speeding. It's a two-lane highway, divided highway, whatever. It doesn't matter. Could be a five-lane highway. Doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, this one person that's in the passing lane, in this two-lane highway, decides, I'm not going to let this person pass. I'm going to make myself the anointed by God person to keep this person from getting ahead of me and being able to speed and or violate the law of the land. I am going to enforce this law and or enforce at least my spin on the law, because this person may be speeding as well. Now, technically, if you're in the left lane of a two-lane highway and you know somebody's trying to pass you, by law, you're supposed to move over so that that person can pass. Doesn't matter how fast they're going. That person should be allowed to pass. So when you really come down to the end of this and you go through this fight, this struggle for this person to try to be able to pass this jerk, not knowing there could be a life-threatening issue or circumstance in that car, not knowing why that car is speeding, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the guy's just trying to make good time or gal. It doesn't matter who it is. If they're trying to pass and you're in the passing lane, you have to move over. You should be cited for obstructing traffic, regardless of how fast you're going. If somebody is trying to pass, they have a right to pass. Now, if all of a sudden you play the games to where you go ahead and speed up and then slow down when you get next to another car and you frustrate this person gets so desperate to pass that they actually go out onto the shoulder on the other, you're in the number one lane, the number two lane, you're blocking with that car. So they go out to the shoulder of the number two lane to try to pass. And then all of a sudden you realize that they're doing a desperate move and you actually try to, to obstruct them by speeding up, and they end up having an accident because of you. You are at fault. Regardless of whether that person decided to do something, you were at fault because you were failing to yield the right-of-way to somebody who wanted to pass. Doesn't matter what their speed is. We're not here to enforce speed. We're not here to enforce these laws. But let's look at it in the bigger picture. We have a civil obligation to respect everybody's rights. Now, you may have a right to drive on a road that doesn't have speeders, and we have law enforcement to do that. And I'm okay with getting people involved in trying to enforce the laws of the road. However, I'm not in favor of the laws being so, I'll just say, traffic violations being so costly. As a matter of fact, technically, by the Constitution, any issue, any fee, any fine, any penalty, or any matter in a case of $20 or more, a common law case of $20 or more, every person has a right to a common law grand jury. That's the Seventh Amendment. And so the reason why we've created such, I'll just say, such a paradigm where these people, want to go around and keep people. I mean, it's a special class of people that do that. And, they need to actually, lose their license. I don't believe that it should be a monetary fine. I believe that, they should have a license suspended for 1 week, 30 days. Next time they do it, maybe a year. We need to be serious to say, we expect you to behave. But what they do is they create these points because it's a way of making money. Now, the whole point is that we all have an obligation to try to help each other get to their destinations without doing stupid things with, you shouldn't be driving a car that doesn't have, you know, the proper equipment like tires or what have you to drive in the road conditions. It's pouring down rain and you're driving a car that you know has bald tires. You're putting everybody at risk that you get on the road with. It's the same thing with going up into the mountains without having good traction tires. Same thing. People need to be held accountable for making bad decisions while they're behind that wheel. Now, the person that was making the bad decision who caused that accident was really the person that refused to allow a person the right of way so that they could pass. And that's against the law. The first law that was broken was by that person. And so everything else had to stem from that person. So the property damage, everything should have actually been put on that driver's insurance. My point is this. When we look at national security, we all have an obligation to make sure that what is being done is best for us, not what's best for the deals being brokered, because we see all the time the federal government is selling us downriver while they're giving advantages to some alliance, to the UN, to these global treaties that they have no business being involved in. Why is it that they're involved in the global agenda? Why? They don't have the authority to be involved in it. We can pull them out. That's the whole point of us asserting our rights. If we don't do this, they will throw us into the global agenda. We have to keep people in check. So when you see, and you know, the person that videotapes these things, because I've seen accidents, I've seen these self-anointed people where people are recording this, you know, those people need to turn that video in and they need to actually go after, you know, that truck driver or that person driving the vehicle that was, you know, holding it up. It's the same thing with the people that created the classified information, that had access to it, that decided to share it, and so forth. In other words, a society, and this goes back to the fundamental principles, and I'm going to cite myself, and I just did this recently this week, and this is important because I believe that this one statement that I have on my Mobius Strip Press page says it all. Because we all have an obligation to help society move along to a higher symbiotic and synergistic type of society, to where we're helping everybody by allowing people to do what is best for themselves and making sure that they're accountable and responsible for those things that they do. When they make a mistake, they have to pay the consequences. So this is the statement. Civil society is wholly dependent upon the symbiosis between the fundamental principles of liberty. Those principles are free agency, responsibility, and accountability. When these principles are balanced and in harmony with the individual citizens, liberty can then act as a catalyst in elevating synergy within the community and society. These synergies will lead to stronger spiritual well-being, greater productivity, improved health, and development of wealth. Because if we're working together to make sure everybody has an equal opportunity, to make sure that we're not putting ourselves over others and not allowing others to put themselves over us, we're allowing everybody the opportunity to succeed in whatever endeavors they choose to, then we now have a society that is advancing at light speed or at human speed because we're advancing as fast as humanity will allow us. By doing this, we truly are growing spiritually because I don't believe any Christian out there is being a good Christian when they're holding other people down, when they're judging others, when they're constantly, you know, creating hostility or a toxic environment with other people. That's not a good Christian. A good Christian forgives and forgets and so forth. But anyway, I don't want to get bogged into that going into the break. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me, AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I guess one of the points that I'm trying to make is that the states actually have this obligation of making sure that the federal government isn't doing things that are harmful, that aren't destructive to our liberties, to this republic, to the sovereignty of the states. And I'm telling you, folks, they're doing everything they can to destroy the sovereignty, to take away our liberties, to subjugate us. We have gone across the line where the federal government, not the actual constitutional federal government, but the players, the people that are sitting in those seats that don't know any better, are deliberately, because they're being told that this is how to do this. You know, when somebody walks into office, they just take everybody's word for how things are to be done. Nobody looks at the manual. Nobody looks at the Constitution and says, hold on here, we don't have the authority to do this. This is why what we're doing is the true waking up. You know, when people say, well, let's wake up, they're doing these things. Well, that doesn't do anything. It may tell people, hey, they're doing these things, but so what? What are they supposed to be doing? If you don't tell people that they're supposed to be doing this and that they're doing this, and the only thing that they, you know, we need them to do these things specifically to fix this. If not, then, you know, we got to get rid of them. We have to start holding them accountable. It's all about accountability. That's liberty can't be maintained if we do not have accountability. You know, it's one thing to be able to allow people to have free agency and to choose and do those things that they want to do that they believe is best for themselves. That's the whole concept of liberty. But when we actually go down this path of, you know, ignoring our responsibility and not holding people accountable, corruption starts building and hostilities start occurring, whether they be passive-aggressive, whether they be aggressive-aggressive, it doesn't matter. What is going on is destructive. And if we do not demand accountability, then it will be too late. So it's now or never, folks, to start doing these things. So when we question the fact why the states, because they are the parties. They're the ones that granted. They're the ones that delegated the few powers that exist. If they're exercising powers that haven't been delegated, then those exercising of powers, properties, roles, responsibilities, those all need to cease and desist. And what they have done in doing those things are all illegitimate. The money they spent in doing those things was illegitimate and fraudulent money. The people behind this need to be held accountable. To whatever degree, that's up to you, America. I believe that if China wants their pound of flesh for, you know, the supposedly facade treaty of buying our debt, some of the things that they've been doing, and they knew that they were defrauding the American people with the help and collusion of the U.S. government, the players in the U.S. government, because the U.S. government does not have the constitutional authority to do these things. These folks may be in a position of power, but they are legally bound to doing those things that support the Constitution. And if they do things that are violating the Constitution, then what they've done is illegitimate. I mean, this is that simple. And I make it sound like it is that simple because it really is. As an employer, and you employ somebody, and you set parameters as to what their job functions are, then you create a labor contract. Your workday starts at this time, and it ends at this time. If that employee doesn't show up to work on time, and you live in an at-will state, and you're operating in an at-will state, you can fire that employee immediately. They leave early without, you know, any reason or what have you. They're just gone. You can fire them. Now, you can tote the line in black and white, and that becomes kind of tough, and that's tough love. It works, but it's kind of hard. It's a lot easier to try to work with and help people because, I'm telling you, you're going to find people that just don't know how to conform, not to rigidity, but to any type of standards because they've never had to. Look at our school system. Our school system is a complete failure because it does not teach children how to be accountable. And it teaches children to behave a very specific way. And it coaches them to go down those paths. But there's no accountability. There's no standards. So when we start looking at what has to be done, I think the obvious is very clear that we have to start using an educational process because when we hold government accountable, we have to educate the people. That's why First Amendment petitions and getting petitions signed and taking it to the people, that's why that is so critical because getting consensus of the voters raises the, you know, the attention to the voters, and the voters go, huh, you know, I'm not standing for this. This is unacceptable, and so forth and so on. And this is how we change the paradigms so that by the time the next, if you've done your job in petitioning your local government and your state government, when we get to a point when we're working as a collective conscience, where people are demanding the law of the land to be abided by. This should not be difficult in a red county and or a red state. It'll be frustrating in a blue county, but overall, I think you'll still win. It's just that you won't win, you know, in butting heads. You'll win by external consensus. In other words, when people start seeing how it actually is working in other counties and in other states, then all of a sudden people go, you know what, that's what we need to do. It's a proven case. It works. Holding people accountable. Wow, who would have thought? It's so sad that we have to say things like this, that I actually have to put these things into. I don't like the taste of the words in my mouth that I have to say these things, that we've gone so far off the path of doing what we're supposed to be doing. Then I actually have to say those things, that, you know, we have to hold people accountable, that, yeah, it actually does work. We have gone so far, you know, there's a scientific rule that time, you know, it takes time to measure results. When you start doing something, before you can realize the ramifications of your actions, it takes a little time. I mean, there are certain things that you can get some immediate feedback, but then it takes, you know, you want better analysis. And if it kills people, it's something it's really not worthy. And that's why we use animals or other things to try to test before we take, you know, life at risk and put life at risk. And by testing scientifically, but bottom line, you know, we can quickly start determining what are the factors that help people live longer? What are the factors that, you know, help, you know, improve behavior, improve productivity in a business, what have you? And I'll tell you what, scientists using scientific principles will actually prove this. The funny thing is, we're even turning our backs in the business realm on scientific principles, where businesses are actually succumbing to the woke agenda to where, you know, well, we have to do things that are actually counterintuitive and actually antithetical to good business practices. Folks, that's how far down the line we are. We're actually believing lies. We're actually, you know, good is evil and evil is good. And we believe these things. And then we get shocked when we realize, wow, who would have thought that that person would have been ravaged by that type of, you know, bad behavior of these other people? Wow. That's an outlier, right? Because most people, they won't do that. And then it becomes more and more common. And then all of a sudden we start seeing, you know, whether it be carjacking, right? Whether it be, bullying. It doesn't matter. It is so rampant. Bad behavior and uncivilized behavior is just rampant in America and throughout the world. And this is all because we've turned our backs on what I would just say liberty and the fundamental principles of liberty, as I just said. If you want to turn things around, we have to restore liberty. And the part of the factor that gets liberty to really work is accountability. So as you go into the weekend, we appreciate all of you who've been listening. And we once again have recognized the uptick of a lot of people listening. We thank you. But as you go into the weekend, start thinking about the consequences and the actions. And let's start looking at government and saying, should government be actually assessing us with these taxations, with these exorbitant fees and fines, and basically putting their hands in our pockets every time we turn around? Because it's a way they make money so that they can do other things. The reason they need money to do other things is those things that they're doing, they have no business doing. It's better to get them out of the business of doing things they have no business in doing and get them to only do those things and maintain the spirit of the law and not the letter of the law. Because if the spirit of the law is to maintain safety, then it's not about making money. Because then the fines and fees can go away. And we can actually just start getting people to behave better, you know, by using other things like license suspensions, those types of things. Anyway, just something to ponder on. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.